Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning, we talked to Deb Balliet, who is director of the Animal Protective Foundation, and it's a great pleasure to have her on the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
The Animal Protective Foundation is located in Glenville in Schenectady County, a not-for-profit humane society. Tell us the mission of the foundation and what goes on there.
Well, the mission is to help people and their animals get along well together and be happy families. And we provide a lot of resources to help foster that. And if it doesn't go right, we try to help either help them fix that or create an opportunity for that pet in particular to have another family and a good shot at life.
So how does that take place in the sense of the you want placement for all the animals, obviously. What is the time frame typically, or is there no such thing as a typical time frame?
Well, there isn't a typical time frame, but there's an average time frame. So most pets are, the average time frame is 27 days with us. So, but we get healthy, happy pets that don't either have that are lacking medical issues or socialization issues. They'll come in and come out from the moment they go up to adoption. They could be there 3 hours. And in other cases, which is typically pets with more medical or socialization issues, those are the ones that kind of end up at the 27 days. But that's a pretty good number for us. It is increasing because we are receiving pets with more medical and more socialization issues.
Give us a sense of what those issues are and how they manifest themselves and why it makes it so difficult to place them.
For example, right now we have a one-year-old dog named Tater, who came in probably because the family did not have enough resources for vet care, which is not an uncommon issue these days. It could be a middle-class family with just living paycheck to paycheck, or it could be somebody living with fewer resources. And the over periods of time, that infection in the ear causes scarring in the ear canal, and the infection got into the middle ear, and you can't get it out without surgery. So Tater is going to surgery on the 12th. She's been with us a couple weeks and has been managed in a foster home, so she'll go to her surgery on the 12th. She'll take about 2 weeks of recovery for that surgery, and then she should be very adoptable and find a new home.
What is the perfect home for Tater?
The perfect home for Tater, she is a happy-go-lucky dog, and she's social with people and pets, so she's pretty easy to place. It's just the medical issue for her.
What kind of dog?
She is a pit bull.
Pit bull. You get a lot of pit bulls, I assume.
Most shelters that are related relatively close to urban areas do.
Yeah. And what is your thinking on... there's a lot of... I have a huge question in my mind. I'm trying to break it down into like three parts, but there's a lot of stigma around pit bulls, and I'm interested in what that means for placing them. I find them only to be amazing, adorable dogs, but I'm curious as to what you have to do, because that could be medical, yes, but also as you were saying, socialization.
Right. You know, it varies. For the most part, most of the dogs we receive, it is the socialization issue that hasn't been handled. There's a developmental period for a dog that is any breed, primarily between 1 to 8 weeks or thereabouts. Right. And they learn a lot from people and from being with other dogs at that period. And pit bulls do have a high energy demeanor typically. So that sometimes makes it harder, but I'd say that makes it more important that they get that socialization in that period with people and pets. And sometimes that is missed.
So if that socialization is missed, is it possible to overcome it down the line?
To some degree, yes. And we have put our staff through a lot of training to try and put those things, that the knowledge in place in the team so that they can redo that. Sometimes we use playgroups of dogs and let the dogs teach each other in a safe way. And that actually takes much quicker than the humans trying to teach it. So we have a lot of tools at our disposal to do that.
The dogs can teach each other a lot.
Yes, they can. That's how they're intended to learn it originally. They're really a pack animal. And so if a dog, for example, we have a canine academy dog training group. Everything, all of our classes in there are geared toward keeping pets in homes. And we have what we call puppy play school, puppy preschool. That there's really not a lot of teaching going on by the instructor. It's to get dogs together to play, and the dogs correct each other. And there's appropriate behavior in the dog world like there is in the human world.
So you send them in there, and they let them, you know, cuff each other and sort of set them straight, and then you're good.
Yeah, they learn to read each other's body language. Oh, I just got corrected. I've been shunned. I've been this. And they get it.
And they learn. 90% placement milestone. You achieved that.
Yes.
Now, how do you keep that?
Well, it's by looking at every pet as an individual. It's also through this training of our staff to address behavior issues, to know how to run play groups, know how to develop behavior modification plans. It is also by the great generosity and love and caring of our community, which will take in dogs and continue to help with their development. And for them to take in pets that have chronic medical issues, we are now adopting out both cats, dogs, guinea pigs, rabbits that may have a hospice-type need. And the community has responded beautifully in helping us with all of these kinds of pets.
Next Friday at Glenn Sanders Mansion in Glenville, you will be holding your Bow Wow Meow Luau.
Yes.
Which is a lot of fun to say. It is your benefit gala for the pets, and this raises money for the animal care and for the spay and neuter surgeries, which we'll get into in a minute for those services in the clinics, as well as veterinary medical equipment. So a lot to fund.
A lot to fund. We have a $2 million budget annually, so the gala has typically netted us close to $90,000. And so that's a significant contributor in one fell swoop. It's also a very fun night for the animals. You're amongst many, many pet lovers. We have a band. Steve Caparizzo and Liz Bishop are our co-MCs. And we just design it to be a fun and festive night to help the pets. And it's a good time.
The Bow Wow Meow Luau is Friday, next Friday night at the Glenn Sanders Mansion in Glenville, and we'll give you it's animalprotective.org, correct? And you can find out more information about that, and I'll make sure to give that address out at the end of our segment as well. One of the things that money goes to is the low-cost spay and neuter services, obviously very important. How does your clinic typically work?
Our clinic is a one-day service. We do about 20 to 25 surgeries a day, and to achieve that, it means that we have a very efficient, organized team of medical professionals. Basically, the pets come in, there's intake, you're given all kinds of information pre and post, and the surgery is rather fast. I mean, each surgery is probably done in a minute and a half to 5 minutes because the pets are being lined up for the surgeon, and it's almost an assembly line process that we were taught by the ASPCA and the Humane Alliance. So it works very effectively, and we're grateful to the Seymour Fox Foundation for helping us fund that. We just hit recently the 18,000 surgery milestone, so it's helping a lot of people, and we're starting to see an impact in our intake at the shelter.
Talk about that, about how you see the end, just because the numbers are down?
We're seeing a reduction of pets coming into the shelter from about 100 to 150 per year over the past 3 to 4 years. We're also seeing more pets that come into the shelter are already fixed.
They're already taken care of. Your coverage area is you are in Schenectady County, but you go all over the capital region.
Yes, and people come to us. We have a partnership in Washington County that was initiated by our Department of Ag rep, for example, and we help the animal control officers and the shelter there because they don't have a lot of people to adopt nor a lot of financial resources coming in from a very poor county. So we work with a lot of rural shelters. If we have space, we'll reach out and say, hey, we've got a number of spaces open, and if you need help, and those are really nice partnerships.
How many groups are there doing what you're doing in the sense of, is there, when it comes to partnerships, is it people who are doing similar things that you're doing?
There are three, well, really four major shelters, the Montgomery County Shelter, Mohawk Hudson, and Saratoga. And we do similar things, but we actually try to differentiate ourselves because if everybody's doing the same thing, maybe we right. should be one. And we all have our strengths. So we work together. And then there's also the network of rescue organizations, which are typically organized groups with home-based foster programs. They don't have a facility like the animal shelters. We need all of that network for the pets to do what we need to do to keep them happy and healthy and in homes.
So I understand what you're saying. I'm curious as to, so what differentiates you then?
We do a great deal of behavioral socialization work and the extent to which we do the medical work.
Meanwhile, you're always looking for foster families. You're always looking for volunteers.
Yes, we are. One of the critical needs that keeps evolving as we're hitting that 90% and occasionally above, we need foster families. We typically ask for 2 weeks of their time to help us with, right now it's what we call kitten season. So we have pregnant moms about to have kittens or kittens coming in that have the moms have already given birth. And it's a shelter is not the place to raise a kitten and make them people friendly. So, and it's also probably not the best place for a mama to have their babies. So we need foster homes for that. For a dog like Tater that I spoke to earlier, Tater has prepared for her surgery in a foster home. She's now in a comfortable place with people who love her. It's the best possible recovery for her as well. So she'll have her surgery, and then she'll go home and recover in her foster home as opposed to in the shelter. These are great needs for us right now.
Do you think just by talking about Tater that maybe we found Tater a home?
I think it's possible.
Okay. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
All right. And there's a lot of other Taters out there.
Yep.
So
yes, there are.
All good stuff. Deb Elliott is Executive Director of the Animal Protective Foundation. Their big luau, the Bow Wow Meow Luau, is happening next Friday on the 12th of April at Glenn Sanders Mansion in Glenville. You can find out more information about the great work of the Animal Protective Foundation as well as the luau by going to animalprotective.org, animalprotective.org. Deb Elliott is Executive Director of the Animal Protective Foundation, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck with your work.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable, Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress.